sermon text for today. It'll be taken, actually, for this fifth Sunday of Easter. It'll be taken from the Gospel of John. And I'm going to ask, because it's Mother's Day, we honor God no matter whether we're standing or sitting. Since you have your mom next to you, most of you, or a lot of you would, just sit. Enjoy Mom, and let me read the Scripture to you. I'm going to read the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, reading in Jesus' name. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, and I prepare a place for you. And if I go, prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we not knowest whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and the works that I do, he shall do also greater works than these he shall do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. It is the power and the might of the Holy Scripture, definitely influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit, spoken of the Holy Son. We pray that you would sanctify us in this truth, because we know it is truth. We ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we have good intentions. Living life, whether it be in our spiritual life, whether it be in our business life, whether it's in raising our children, whatever it may be, we often have good intentions, but sometimes we can't fulfill it. Sometimes because of the error of our mind, in other words, we're feeble and we forget, or in different situations, or maybe it's because we don't have the ability or the gift in that area, we have a tendency to drop the ball in certain places. Maybe some of us don't. Maybe we are perfect in every way. You didn't happen to get one of those kind of pastors. And I don't know if my wife got that kind of husband. At times I think I got that kind of wife where she's perfect, but then she'll show me she's not. But the fact of it is, we are all human. And when we are caught up in a moment, we can definitely set some lofty, lofty endeavors in our mind, or actually set some pretty high, high, well, probably more or less, like, ideals. What we would do in certain situations. So in other words, when we're standing outside of a moment, we could have a tendency to say, well, if this happened, I would do this. Or if this happened, I would do this. And we can feel quite adamant. We call that ethics. What a person feels they would do in a certain situation, or how they live their life in this world, ethically. But there's an interesting thing with ethics. We could talk about them all day long. But the fact of it is, as Tillich would say, until the person is in the situation, I will not only hear of their ethic, I will see their ethic. What they really will do. Why am I bringing this all up? What's this got to do with the text? Because we have a tendency to take text out of context Because the calendar tells us straightforward, we're going to start at chapter 1, chapter 14, verse 1. But that's out of context. First and foremost, we have Jesus promising and speaking to the disciples, but also saying that, you know, he's going to go through a lot of suffering. He's going to go through a lot of death. Peter turns around and he makes this commitment. I will follow you no matter what, Jesus. I will follow you. I don't care if it takes my life. I will dedicate myself to you. I will lay down my life in your defense, in your behalf. Jesus answers him, verse 38 of the previous chapter, as we call it. Will you? Is that really what you'll do, Peter? Will you lay down your life in my behalf? He says, I'm telling you the truth. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, before the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. He sets lofty ideals. He sets a high mark for himself, Peter does. But God knows our hearts and our abilities. But he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us in the destitution of our flesh. He goes beyond that. And he brings us to the understanding of maybe you think you can, but actually you won't. But don't worry. And that's probably the strongest word that we can turn around and understand in the day and age that we live in. No matter what you may be going through, no matter what you think you might do, even though you'll probably fail, there is another aspect we must always remember. Don't worry. And when we even look at this at Mother's Day, isn't that what we come to in a healthy relationship between child and mother? No matter what may be going on, no matter what you may have failed to do, she still loves you. That's a healthy relationship. Jesus comes out after he says that you will deny me three times. He doesn't break sentences here. He's not turning around and saying, please stop this book and start a new one. He says, but don't let your heart be troubled. He says, don't let your heart be troubled, Peter. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Would that faith and that trust that you have in God, have that also in me? Because I'm going to do something for you, Peter. I'm going to do something that you cannot do. I am going to take care of something that you cannot take care of. Though you set high ideals, though you take and you put the mark high, and though you may fail, I will not. That is confidence. That is the confidence of the Word of God. That is the confidence of the Scripture that brings forth into this world that is full of turmoil, that is full of confusion. That we have a God that understands where we come from. We have a God that knows the situation we're in. And though we may be weak in the flesh, though we may struggle, He does not. This is what we look to. He says, Peter, look to me. As we see Peter even in the other scenes with Jesus, as we see him walking on the ocean, walking in the sea, when his eyes are fixated upon Christ, he is walking on that water. Peter, keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't be troubled with this. Don't lose heart. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, however you may translate this. They're dwelling places. He says, there are many of them. And he says, and I'm honest with you, Peter. I share this with you because I love you. I share this with you because you are my child. He says, if it was not so, I would have told you. I'm not going to lead you in false hopes. I'm not going to lead you in false endeavors. He says, if it wasn't so, I would tell you. He says, I have told you, and I am going. And what is he doing? He brings this very personally, not only to the disciples, but actually very personally to Peter, because he's the one that made this bold statement, and Jesus had to let him down easy. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do we find comfort in that? Maybe it's a simplistic thought, but do we find comfort that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for each and every one of us? Do we find comfort that even in our natural lives, in our personal earthly lives, that our loved ones may take time to make a place for us. Do we find comfort even as we observe such a day as Mother's Day, that many times Mother will take time out of her life to provide for us, to provide a place of comfort, to provide means, to provide many different things, to understand that this is a great example of God's love towards us? Peter, don't worry. I have something great coming. There is something so great that if it wasn't true, I would have told you, because this is so important. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but that's not enough. Not only am I going to prepare this place for you, he said, but I'm going to come get you again. I'm going to walk you in. I'm going to bring you to this place of comfort. I'm going to take and transpose you to this place of comfort. Peter, it's not about you and your abilities. It's not about you standing up with sword. It's not about you laying down your life. Quite opposite. It's about Christ laying down His life. This is the God that we serve. We have a mighty and a loving and a gracious Father who turns and gives His only begotten Son that we may have a place. And not only that we would have a place, but that we would receive of the Comforter, and that we would be comforted even in our time, but yet also not only in that time, but through transition. Through transition. Last night I came home from the hospital and I sat and with my wife, we went in the sauna, and we were talking for a little while. And I was telling her about this. I said, how many people I've watched transfer from this life to the next? It's not always easy because there's that emotional time. But for some strange, and this is going to sound strange, for some strange reason, it's not scary either. There is a peace. There is a peace because Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. There is a peace because by the Spirit of God, Christ is taking that individual and bringing them to the next place. There is a peace that is found there, not only amongst us as believers, but throughout that whole room. And I'm not judging anybody. I can't. I don't know who else was, you know, where they stand. But the one thing I can tell you is there is a peace amongst them all. Because it's like being in the presence of God the Father. That the whole world in reality stops. Everything else stops around you. Nothing else matters. Money doesn't matter. Business doesn't matter. Even the expense of the hospital around you doesn't matter. The doctors take time for you. Because we are in the presence of a holy God who comes forward and receives a child, a believer. And there is a peace. Because Jesus promised, He says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And I'm telling you the truth. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. Not by anybody else, but unto Himself. He says, that where I am, you also would be. We may have lots of questions after someone takes their last breath. Even as my wife shared with me in the sauna, she said, just think. The next life is only one breath away. We may have questions. We may wonder about sleep. We may wonder about all kinds of things. But the one thing we are assured of, that we are secure in Jesus Christ. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Is what Christ Himself, not Jesse, not some theologian, not some other pastor, Christ hanging on the cross tells the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. I will come and receive you for myself. He says, and you know. You know the way. He says, you know where I am going, and you know the way. And this blows the disciples away, the apostles. They're like, what? We have so many questions. Sometimes we feel that way as human beings. We have so many questions.
Now what?
Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? See, that's human. We want to know every step, every procedure. What left, what right, how high, how low, where do we go? What steps do we take to get there? And that's what religion of men will do to you each and every time. They will try to make you go left, go right, go up, go down, have this hand laid on you, speak in this tongue, make sure you get this water dumped on you. We'll have all kinds of systems and understanding. But it's not about that. And Thomas is saying, well, tell me, what do I do? They ask in a different part of the Gospel of John, don't they? What must we do to do the works of God? Singular, they ask. What must we do to do the works of God? They ask Jesus Christ himself. And he says, well, they say in plural, works. He says in singular, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Thomas is like, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Give us a map. Give us a system. Give us seven steps. Give us something. Jesus turns around and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas, there is no other way. You know me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we grasp when he is speaking to us? We know him. And in and through and by the faith in Christ, we have the exit. We have the ticket. We have the map. We have the grace and the mercy and the peace of God. We may get caught up in the details. We may get caught up in systems, dogmatics, whatever you want to say. If you want to use bigger terms, we can. It's all garbage compared to the love of God in and through Jesus Christ. He says, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no individual, no person can come to the Father except through me. Thank God. I praise and thank God for this statement in the Scripture, because man will always try to point you to something else. Will always try to bring you around some other bend or tell you to go in this direction and go in that direction. They'll tell you, you've got to put forth some great fruits to be a Christian. No! We are Christians by faith through grace. Then the fruit comes. We do not produce fruits to become a Christian. Fruits come from the Christian. And so he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He says, and if you had known me, he says, you know the Father also. This really blows him out of the water. He says, for henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Have you ever had times like that? Where you turn around in your life and say, I just wish I could have a cup of coffee with God. I wish I could just see God, to know God. What does he think? Disciples desire to see God the Father. And Jesus is telling them, he's right here. It's me. When you see the action, when you see me moving, when you see me working, when you see me going about, don't think that this is individual. I am of God. I am God. And this is me producing and working physically. Emmanuel, God with us. Do we not believe those words? We want to know God. He is found right here within his word as he speaks in the living word. This is our God found within, revealed. We want to know God. He is in the believers of Jesus Christ, operating by the power of the Holy Spirit that we may know him. We're oftentimes running off to the mountaintops. We're oftentimes running around trying to figure out where we can find God next. He is yet found even in the hearts of his believers. Do we take the time? How do we know? How do we know mother? Or for that matter, in June, how do we know father? And I'm talking earthly. By the fruit. By the love. By the action that they give to a child. We know them. We feel comfortable. We feel intimate with them. Because we've known them. Are we intimate with our God? Do we know Him by His Word? Do we know Him by His revelation? Do we know Him by His Spirit of revelation, even by the fruits, not only in our lives, but in other people's lives? Yesterday, I saw Christ. Oh, pastor's losing his mind. Why are we so scared of that? I saw Christ at Portage Hospital. Because I saw Him by the power of the Holy Spirit working through all the people surrounding one family with great love. As I've told you before, when people question Mother Teresa saying, how can you spend all your time out in the mission field with lepers where no one will even dare go? She said, how could I not? When I look out, I see Christ. Do we hear Him? Do we know Him? Do we have intimacy with Him? If we're lacking in our lives, if we're lacking in our lives, we don't need to be looking here. We don't need to be looking to any other substitute in the world. We need to look here. And in each and every one of you, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to look out there to see the fruit, to see the Word, to see the encouragement, to see the Spirit of God operating and moving through His church. And I'm talking universal, Catholic church. He says, no one can go to the Father but by Me. And if you have seen Me, you have seen Him. Philip is confused by this. He says, stop monkeying around. How many times have we done that? How many times have we seen miracles in our lives? We've seen fruits in our lives. We've seen encouragements in our lives. We've seen all that. Okay, God, that's great and stuff, but just get real. Philip, Jesus gives this powerful testimony. He gives this great understanding. And Philip turns around and says, just show us the Father, and that'll make us happy. Jesse's guilty of this. So many times in his life, he's seen these great miracles. He's seen these great circumstances. And I'm like, where are you, God? Jesus answers him with love. He says, have I been so long time with you? And I think, in other words, have you become complacent because you know Me so well? And I question that in our own lives at times, or at least in my own life. Have I seen the blessings and the miracles so much that I don't even realize? Are we still looking for the Benny Hinn moments when we knock people down and see the power of the Holy Spirit? I don't know what we're looking for. Because I'll tell you what, I've conquered lots in my life in and through Jesus Christ. Raising children, dealing with different issues, financial battles, health issues. Have we not? Have I been so long with you, Philip? Have you gotten so comfortable with Me? Have I been your sugar daddy for 3 years and you don't even realize it? Have I been so long time with you and you don't know Me? That is a powerful statement. I'm right here. Show us the Father. Philip. Here He is. That is a comfort. Because too many times in people's lives we've been raised with a God that's waiting to hit us over the head from heaven with a hammer when we do something wrong. We're waiting for the persecution. We're waiting for the hellfire to lick our toes. Whatever it may be. That is not our God. Our God loves us so much He gave us His only begotten Son that we may have faith and grace that we may live in Him for eternity. Our God exemplifies Himself through healing of the people, through healing of blindness, through healing of withered hands, from bringing back from the dead, from feeding the thousands, to walking on water. This is our God. What is your God in your life? Have you seen Him? Have you seen Him move and operate in your life where you should have lost your shirt because of some stupid business deal, but yet God preserved you yet for another day? Your God has brought your child back from sickness, has brought your mother back, has brought your cousin, whatever it may be. Your God who has revealed Himself to you in the darkest of times. This is your God. He is not one from a distance. He is one that has come to this earth and given His very own life in your behalf. This is a God of love. Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't even know me? We can find this in our own lives if we but yet take a second. We get so familiar with family, we don't know them. We get so familiar with our mate, we don't understand them. We get so familiar with our children, we think they're so foreign. You know me. Our God loves us so much. He did not withhold anything. He gave it up. Do we know Him? He that's seen me has seen the Father. I don't understand, Jesus says, how you can say, show us the Father. I can't do anything else. He says, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He questions that. You don't understand this, Philip? He says, the words that I speak, He says, I speak to you not of myself, but I speak because of the Father that dwelleth in me. He says, He is the one operating. He is the one that is operating. He says, believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. He says, but Philip, then wake up. If you can't believe because of what you see here, believe because of the miracles that you have experienced for 3 years. Jesse, you've experienced miracles. You've experienced miracles for 46 years. You all have a different age. Do you know the Father? By even the experiences that you've seen in your life. In spite of what the world may have done. In spite of what others may have done. In spite of what may be going on around you. You are still here. Believe me, for the miracle's sake, is what Christ says. He says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, he will do greater works. This is a very powerful statement. Often many religions will turn Jesus now into our sugar daddy, where he now is commanded by us. That's not what this means. He says, in reality, what I do, you will do much more. And this is more in scope. Because I'm going to be blunt with you. There's at least two occasions where Jesus raised somebody from the dead. What greater work can we do than that? He walked on water. He cursed a tree and it died. He showed His command over hell, death, and the devil. He showed His command over, in reality, the earth and nature. What more can we do than that? But He surrendered His right to be in the form of flesh and to be limited even by that flesh, even to a local area. But look at, we're in America. We're not even Jewish. And yet His work is continuing. And greater in scope will we do this great work. And He says, whatever you ask in my name, He's telling the disciples, He's telling the apostles straight out, whatever you have need of to do my work in the kingdom, whatever you have need of, ask. And I'll do it. But we get so familiar with that word, we lose it at times. Now, like I said, some have turned this into, well, name it and claim it, have enough faith, achieve it. Believe it and achieve it, right? Remember what He said. You ask, He will do. God operating in and through us. It is for His honor, for His glory, that He will continue to allow this kingdom to grow and grow and grow. Never think that it is us doing the work. Never think it is me. It says very plainly, have you lost such familiarity with me? Have you known me so well, Philip, that you don't know me? If you ask something, He will do it. May all honor, may all glory go to God the Father through Jesus Christ. He said, and He will continue to produce that work. Our question today, once again, is, do we know Him? have we become so familiar, if I could say it in this way, with His work, with His handiwork, that we've lost sight of who our God is. For He is a gracious God, and He loves you so personally that He gave His Son in your behalf. May we always continue in His work. For Jesus.